So, when your mind wanders, where does it wander to? Where do your thoughts go? Okay, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to shout out your answers or anything. Obviously, your mind is a personal and private place, and you may wish to keep your thoughts to yourself. But back to my question. When you're not called upon by work or home or church or other responsibilities, where does your mind go? Perhaps it goes to pleasant places. Children, grandchildren, a favorite vacation, a successful job project, dear friends. Or maybe your mind goes to less favorable places, anxious thoughts about the future, to recalling disappointments, to images that you know are not proper for Christians. Where does your mind go when it's not focused on the matter at hand? The actual title that I was working with for my sermon was Minding Your Mind. So keep that in mind, please, so that you'll have some idea where I'm going. We face a particular challenge as Christians in our society, a challenge never before at this scale, ever. And just listen to some of the reasons why I say that. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to answer. How many of you remember black and white television? Oh, we've got a few here. Okay. And how many channels did we have back then? 3, maybe 4, 1. Where were you? Okay, that's okay. It all depended on how many channels our rabbit ears could pull in, right? How many channels can you access now? Scores upon scores of them. We have entertainment packages for everything, for sports, for movies, for family. There's far more choice than we could ever have imagined at one time in our lives. Years ago, in terms of newspapers and magazines, there were perhaps a dozen that were prominent. Now, if you look at an offer made by Rogers Magazine Service, they list over 140 magazines on their website. You can even subscribe to and read online newspapers from places you had never been in the world. We have far more choices to make today than we ever had before. And that is a challenge. A Consumer Report tells us that the North American will be exposed to an average of 247, that's 247, marketing messages in a day. In a day! Some estimates go up to the thousands if you include things like looking at labels and the displays around them. There are so many things that attract our attention and want to get their message through to us. Consider for a moment all the sources of information around you. Look at all the messages that you're exposed to in a single day. Not all of those messages are uplifting or beneficial for your Christian life. When I was growing up and attending a Baptist church back in Toronto, the norm was for people to attend Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, and Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings. At those times, we received good preaching and teaching. The number of those opportunities has dwindled in most Baptist and other evangelical churches. I'm not suggesting that we have more church services. But the question is, what has filled that void in our lives? This past week, we observed Remembrance Day and commemorated the contributions and sacrifice made by tens of thousands of people. We owe them a debt of gratitude for safeguarding our freedom to enjoy so many things. Still, I believe that people everywhere, even in the not-so-free world, have a measure of freedom. We all have the freedom to choose what we'll think about. The freedom to choose what we think about is one of the amazing things about being human beings. God said, Let us make man in our own image. And one facet of that image is that we are created rational beings. We can think and make mental associations. Taking this further, our thoughts and the feelings that result from them are leading to our actions and our behavior. This, of course, adds significantly to the importance of our thoughts and the need to mind one's mind. Today we're going to look at the motive and means, the motive and means for minding our mind. Our focus will be that passage that we've read from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. And even though this letter is rooted in a different time and a different culture, as the Word of God, it has an answer for our times and our situation in terms of how to mind one's mind. In Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do you know where the Apostle Paul was hanging out when he wrote this letter to the Philippians? This letter, the one that is known as his most joy-filled letter, was written while Paul was in prison. He was in jail. That freedom I mentioned later, he wasn't enjoying much of that. And yet this book is full of references to joy and rejoicing. Why? Because as he says later in the book, he had learned the secret of being content in any circumstances. And that secret has to do with what he chose to think about, where he focused his attention. Most of the time, we are not miserable because of our circumstances, but because of what we think about our circumstances. May I repeat that for you? Most of the time, we are not miserable because of our circumstances. We are miserable because of what we think about our circumstances. When we recognize something of the Apostle Paul's circumstances at the time he wrote this letter, we see the power of Christ at work in him, enabling him to focus on words of encouragement for the believers in Philippi. He is modeling what he is teaching. Does he talk about painful things? Of course he does, but for the purpose of instruction and clarification. He keeps returning to his theme of joy and rejoicing. And then in chapter 4, he continues by saying, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Some versions, instead of "think about these things," say "let your mind dwell on these things" or "meditate on these things. The point is, true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable are the kinds of things that should fill our minds when we're not engaged in planning menus, arranging carpooling, juggling the budget, or otherwise solving the problems of the world. What goes on in the mind has a profound effect upon what we say and the way we feel and what we do. It also influences the way we look at the world around us. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul exhorts them, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Computer technology reinforces that thought. It used to be quite common to hear the acronym GIGO. Does anyone know what that stands for? G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. You would only get from a computer the quality of data that you put into it. And so it is with the human mind. If you put corrupting thoughts and images into the mind, then they crowd out whatever is good and begin to work in ways that darken your understanding and distort truth and reality. The result is that you will experience a terrible dissonance caused by the disparity between what you have been taught is right and what you're actually thinking and saying and doing. And that is how we all were once, as Paul said in Colossians 1, alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. I know there have been times when I've unwittingly been exposed to something horrible on television, and that is so difficult to erase from my mind. Can any of you relate to that? Have you ever seen anything and thought, oh, I wish I closed my mind then? I'm one of those people who goes to movies sometimes. I hope that doesn't shock you, but I always appreciate it if somebody lets me know in advance the places where I'm supposed to hide my eyes, because I don't like to have that stuff inside. Science has demonstrated that the brain is extremely retentive, astoundingly so. Once images are in here, they're hard to erase. All the more reason to choose carefully where we allow our thoughts to linger. Perhaps well-socialized people are able to mask or conceal what is going on inside, but eventually it'll become apparent to at least some others. Some people, on the other hand, make no attempt to conceal what they're about. They feed their minds with images of violence and corruption, and then they are bound to act along those same directions. For some, the problems in their mind are triggered by the prevalence of things like stress, anxiety, worry, and depression. Can you relate to this? 4 out of 5 Americans report that they need to reduce the amount of stress in their lives. It's 80%. I don't imagine it's much different here, do you? 80%. Nowadays, for the reasons people make a medical appointment with a doctor, over 90% are stress-related. We know that we have many, many options for what we can be thinking about. And we know that many of those options are not going to lead us to healthy thinking. So if you're a follower of Christ, it's important to mind your mind. For your well-being, mentally, physically, and spiritually, it is important that you take in good things. God knows this, and he inspired Paul to record guidelines not only about how to live, but about how we should think. Let's take a few minutes to focus on the qualities that Paul listed in Philippians. He begins his list with the word whatever. In these times, today, that word whatever is often a negative throw-off term. Whatever. But Paul uses it to announce life-changing potential. So as I say these words, I want to give you time to picture something that they represent for you. So I'm going to go through them one at a time and ask you, what do you think of when this word comes to mind? First of all, what do you think when I say true? Honorable. Pure. Lovely. Just. Commendable. How do you feel when you allow your mind to dwell upon such words? There should be a distinction between how that feels and what it is like to dwell on painful things. To illustrate that distinction, in the book of Romans, Paul paints a vivid contrast between a life dominated by the flesh or sinful nature and a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, 5 to 8, he says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." I have counseled Christians for the past 20 years and have seen the implications of this principle in many, many situations. Sadly, I have known believers who have attended church much of their lives and yet seem to be still babes in terms of spiritual growth. I have also seen those who can be described as dynamic, growing Christians, some who are experiencing victory even in the midst of trials. Generally speaking, I have noticed a distinct difference in the habits and practices between the two groups. The babes in Christ, no matter how long they've been in a child of his, and those who are thriving. And that difference is especially in terms of their devotional lives and their choices in things like recreation and entertainment. Listen for a moment to very, very familiar verses from Romans 12. "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The Apostle Paul had a fervent desire for Christians to be renewed in the mind, having the mind of Christ, choosing to glorify him and choosing to glory in him. There are lots of passages where he has given us encouragement to do that. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that we're to put off our old self, or your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Renewed in the spirit of your minds. Whenever renewed is used in the New Testament, it refers to spiritual renewal, and sensibly comes from a root word meaning new. Again, referring to Paul, he wrote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In Christ, you are a new creation. In a way, we can begin seeing life through the lens of Jesus Christ. And he actually satisfies this whole list of eight qualities that we have in the Philippians passage. He is true, he's honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, just, worthy of praise. Should you want to study these concepts more deeply, I recommend a book that's soon to be available in Canada called Mindscape. Mindscape. The author is Timothy Whitmer. It's already on Amazon.ca, but you can't buy it here yet. But it's coming. I've only read the first chapter. It was good. And he goes through all of these words. So if you want to fill your mind with them, feel free. If you want to mind your mind, it's essential that you put something in place of the thoughts you're trying to erase. The mind will not abide a vacuum. So it doesn't work to say, "Well, I just won't think about anything." You have to put a healthy thought there in order to be successful. Nor does it help you to tell yourself not to think about something Have you ever tried something like, well, don't think about that pink elephant? I said, don't think about the pink elephant. The more you tell yourself not to think about something, the more you will think about it. If you want to displace bad thoughts and put something else in place, why not think about Jesus? Think about Jesus. He's always safe territory. It is crucial to recognize that you cannot, by mere determination and willpower, mind your mind. It is impossible. The battle raging for control of your mind is fierce, and it's being fought by unseen forces. We are utterly dependent upon God through His Holy Spirit to enable us to focus our minds on things pleasing to Him. Books with titles like Battle for the Mind or Battlefield for the Mind reinforce the fact that we as Christians are engaged in something larger than a challenge for our thoughts and our minds. In Ephesians we read, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Brothers and sisters, if you are going to have victory in this spiritual battle, it is essential to safeguard what you think about. You must also have a mind that is open to hearing from God. There are so many things that can clutter our thinking and prevent us from hearing His words to us, from hearing His message to us, from hearing His heart toward us. I see two things. Actually, I see a whole lot, but I'm going to share two things that properly exercise our thinking as Christians. One is faithful reading of the Bible, where we are actually meeting with God in His Word, and we can expect that. We can approach His Word with the belief that He is going to talk to us through this love letter. John Stott said that one of the highest and noblest functions of man's mind is to listen to God's word and to read His mind and think His thoughts after Him. That is just amazing. The second exercise is through memorizing scripture. One thing I want to mention is it doesn't get easier as you get older. So you younger folk, put on the pressure to really make that happen. Those verses that you memorize, they'll stay with you. This is from a blog by David Mathis on the Desiring God website. When we learn the scriptures by heart, we're not just memorizing ancient, enduringly relevant texts, but we're listening to and learning the voice of our Creator and Redeemer Himself. When we memorize lines from the Bible, we are shaping our minds in the moment to mimic the structure and mindset of the mind of God. Bible memory not only prepares us for the someday maybes when we use a memorized verse in counseling or witnessing or fighting sin, but it contributes powerfully in the present to making us the kind of person who walks in the Spirit today. The very act of memorizing scripture as we understand and engage with the meaning of the text changes our minds in the present to make us the kind of people who discern what is the will of God. Well, we've talked about a number of passages that speak to minding your mind. If you want to follow that upward call of God in Jesus Christ, then adopt Paul's pattern for Christian thinking. Make it a guideline for your choices in reading, entertainment, and conversation. Most importantly, mind your mind by focusing your thoughts on Christ. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, commendable Christ. One day, a young man came up to an elderly minister, and he earnestly sought help in controlling lustful thoughts. He said, "Pastor, I try really hard to think godly things and only things that will really build up my life and be pleasing to my Father. But other thoughts come unbidden and they're just there. They distract me. Can you help me?" The godly man put a compassionate arm on the young lad's shoulder and said, "Son, I can't keep a bird from landing on my head, but I sure can stop her from building a nest in my hair." Please remember that. No nests. Mm-hmm.